Wow. Thank you, Kyan, for that excellent reading. Hello, my name's Pete. Oh, he got a much bigger reception than I did. Hey, there we go. There we go. Hello, my name's Pete. I've been here the last couple of weeks with Big Fridays. I hope you've been here the last few weeks as well, but even if this is your first week, welcome along to Big Fridays, and we're going to be tackling some of the really, really big questions in life. And we've been thinking through the topic. We've already heard a little bit about Jesus, don't you care? If Jesus is there, does he care? What's the point? And we're getting right now to this final week, weighing it all up. And you might have been with us last week. And we finished last week with the picture of the tightrope walker. And kind of we put the question to all of us, are we in that position where we can hop on? Do we trust Jesus with our life? And we're going to zoom in on that a little bit more. But a story first of all. I was down to my last $5. I was doing the calculations in the chicken shop at Roseville train station. I'd been on a tennis camp with my older brother. I was in year 4, he was in year 6. Now we needed money to get the train from Roseville to Pymble. And we were doing the calculations. We could either get hot chips or we could get a can of Coke to share. Hot chips or can of Coke? It was summer. We'd been at a tennis camp. Who would go the hot chips? Who would go the can of Coke? Okay, so we talk it over. He's year 6. He gets the final say. I'm just in year 4. He makes the decision. He goes up to order. Can I please have some hot chips? And a can of Coke as well. We get them both. We sit at Roseville train station. We share the can of Coke between us. We're brothers. That's okay. We eat the hot chips. We go up to buy our train tickets. We'd made the fateful decision. We were short. We couldn't get to Pymble. We had enough money to get off at Gordon. So we get off at Gordon, and then we walk from Gordon station. We used to live up near Pymble Public. 90 minutes it took us to walk all the way home. But if you'd asked me on that day, was it worth it? Yeah. Absolutely. Of course it was worth it. The hot chips and the can of Coke. Fast forward a bit. Fast forward a little bit now. I'm in year 9. In year 9, I was into athletics. I did a lot of running. And I remember I'd marked one race on the calendar about a year out. And I can remember training pretty much every single day for a year for this one race. I can remember on even Christmas Day with my belly full of roast potatoes and roast lamb, taking my starting blocks from home, walking around to Bannockburn Oval near where we lived, and even training on Christmas Day. We get to the big race, the day of the race. My whole family had come to this particular carnival. I hadn't gone so well in the heats. I'd got into the final, but I was lane 8. Somehow it all kind of clicked. It all came together. I won the race that I'd been training for a year. And if you'd asked me on that night, was it worth it? Again, I would have said yes. All that hard work, I would have said yes, it was worth it. Fast forward now, I'm in university. I'm trying to repeat the effort at a similar race. I'd marked it out for about 6 or 7 months. And this time I'd sacrificed even more. I can remember putting off parties and hanging out with friends in order to train. I remember not going on this one holiday in order to stay back and train. I'd stopped some study and missed some subjects in order to prioritize this race. This race was down in Melbourne. I caught the train down. It was an overnight train. I slept on the train, got off the next morning at Melbourne. I remember going straight with my friend. We went on the tram straight to the stadium. I started my warm-up and I injured myself in the warm-up. And I can remember there, on my own, just with my friend, I can remember just feeling so angry. I'd almost never felt so angry, so frustrated with myself. I can remember feeling so flat, so disappointed. And in the end, when I looked at it, I thought it wasn't so much that I couldn't run in the race, but I was looking back of all the things I'd missed out on. I didn't do that. I didn't do that. I didn't do this. I didn't do all that stuff for nothing. And if you'd asked me on that day, was it worth it? I would have said a big fat no. I'd missed out on all these things, and then it had come to absolutely nothing. We do these sort of calculations all the time, don't we? Even what subjects or electives you're choosing. These are the positives, These are the negatives. Is this subject worth it? We do it when we're planning our weekend. I could do this, I could do that. Is it worth it? What movie should we see? Is it worth it? We're buying food up at the food court. Is it worth it? We're making plans for the holidays. Is it worth it? Hanging out with these friends or those friends, is it worth it? We have that thought in our mind all the time. What about with faith? And when we come to the big questions in life, is it worth it? When it comes to Jesus, is he worth it? Will it be like my race in year 9 when I sacrificed all these things, but in the end it all kind of clicked and came together? Or when it comes to Jesus, will it be like my race in university? I put this off, put that off, but in the end, it falls flat and you feel like you've wasted all of these other opportunities. When it comes to Jesus, is he worth it? There are so many good things about being a Christian, but there are tricky things too. Good things that are being part of a community like this, being able to pray to a living God, being forgiven, having the hope of heaven. But there are hard parts too when it comes to being a Christian. I know it can be hard. I know it can be hard to be a Christian at school. Sometimes your views are out of line with your friends. You can feel like you're missing out on things. Sometimes on a Friday night, you might not go to parties because you're prioritizing gathering with other Christians at a youth group like this. Sometimes you feel like you're losing social status when people find out that you're a Christian. You might feel silly going to the Christian group at school. People might judge you. People might think that you're judging them. People might just think you're weird or old-fashioned. Or as we heard with Jed's story, you might pray and there's no answer. And you think, well, is it worth it? Is Jesus worth all of this? Tonight I want to think about some words of Jesus. And packed in here are three reasons why I believe Jesus is worth it. Here's the first one. Jesus brings satisfaction. And these words come from John chapter 6. Jesus speaking to his disciples and then a much wider crowd who have gathered at all. Here's Jesus' claim, John chapter 6. Picture language, metaphor language, but we'll unpack it. It's easy enough. Jesus says, I am, talking about himself, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. The claim is that Jesus brings complete satisfaction in every dimension of life. Bread at that time was the staple food. If you wanted to survive, you were eating bread. It's what everybody ate. It's the most basic food. So Jesus is stepping into that time, that world, and saying, just as you all depend on bread every single day for your physical life, listen to the claim. Depend on me for existence in your spiritual life. Jesus' claim is, just as you nourish yourself with food to sustain you, let me sustain you in your spiritual life. And then Jesus covers all the expanses. If you come to me, says Jesus, you will never go hungry. You will never be thirsty. Jesus is talking about a level of contentment, a level of satisfaction that is unmatched by anything in this world. A couple of sentences earlier, Jesus has said to the crowd, don't work for food that spoils. And by that, Jesus is talking about all the things that we strive for and pursue in this world. He says, don't work for the stuff in this world that just goes rotten. If you look for meaning and identity and purpose in this world, you will be let down. And many of us search for satisfaction in things like friendships. We love popularity. We love to be loved. Relationships bring us community, companionship. We love it when we feel important amongst a group of people. We love being valued. Lots of us seek satisfaction in things like possessions. Possessions give us status. They make us feel cool. They help us feel in touch. They meet cravings. They help us build our reputation. They provide security. Lots of us look for satisfaction in things like experiences, ticking off a bucket list, getting as much as we can out of this wonderful world, trying to travel, hanging out with friends, doing as much fun stuff as we can. Lots of us look for satisfaction in things like being successful, acing those exams, getting the best marks, making the best teams, winning that race, building up our list of achievements as we go through school and make it as impressive as it possibly can be. But what happens when the friendships fall apart, or the phone breaks, or the holiday is over, or you fail the exam, or you get injured on the morning of the race? It's like going to McDonald's on a school night. It's fun in the moment, but you get home, you realize, oh, it's still a school night. Don't get me wrong, all of those things do satisfy us just for a moment, but they don't meet our deepest needs. Let's say you go really well in that exam, but the hunger and the thirst is still there. Let's say you get the iPhone 25, but then the hunger and the thirst is still there. Your wardrobe full, your bedroom full of all the clothes and the shoes that you could possibly want, but the hunger and the thirst is still there. We crave and we crave and we crave. A number of years ago, I went on a trip over to Africa. And most of the time, the weather wasn't really hot, but it was pretty hot. And we went on safari. We went on all those things that you would do. And we went to lots of local markets. Now, while you're at these local markets, that's where we'd buy our lunch for the day. And you'd come to a little spot like this, and you'd look for some food, and you'd look for some drink. Now, one of the only soft drinks that they sell is this thing called Tangawizi ginger beer. Now, the problem with Tangawizi ginger beer is not only is it kind of a little bit bitter, but often, without a fridge, it's been sitting in a crate or a box throughout the morning in the African sun. And so you go to crack the Tangawizi ginger beer, and you drink it because you're so thirsty, but in about half an hour, you're even more thirsty than before you drank it, because the drink makes you more thirsty. The other drink they had was Coke. Coke was everywhere. But it was the same thing, warm Coke that had been sitting in the sun. And you drink it, but in the end, you're actually more thirsty, because Coke and Tangawizi ginger beer, they dehydrate you. So you feel more thirsty afterwards. That's the mistake that our world makes. Our world looks for all of these things to satisfy us. The popularity, the possessions, the success. But in the end, our world is just drinking down liters and liters and liters of warm Coke. And in the end, it just makes us crave more, makes us more thirsty. So hear Jesus' claim again in that context. When all the things in the world let us down, here's what Jesus says: I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry and never be thirsty. Hunger? Never. Thirst? Completely quenched. It's because when you come to Jesus, our deepest needs, not just those things on the surface, but our deepest needs are met in Him. Excuse me. Those deepest needs, like, what am I worth? What's my identity? Where is my purpose? What's really important in life? Will I be accepted? Where am I going? Where is hope? What happens when I miss out? In Jesus, we're not doomed to this loop of craving, 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 because we get those answers. What's my identity? I'm made in the image of God. What am I worth? So valued that God sent His Son to die for me. What's really important in life? Those things that last on to the next life. Can I be accepted at the deepest level just for who I am? Of course, in the death of Jesus. What happens if I miss out in this life? We get so much in the promises of eternal life that we don't need to fear missing out here. And on and on and on we could go. Jesus brings satisfaction to our deepest needs. Now here's the thing, and you've got to hang with this metaphor for a moment. If you have food, and if you're starving, just looking at the food won't do anything. Even if you pick up the food, that won't do anything. You could sniff the food and it won't do anything. If you're starving and the food is there, you need to eat the food. If you're dying of thirst and there's water there, you could look at the water, you could throw the water on your head, it will do nothing unless you actually drink the water. It's the same with Jesus. You could hear about him. He could remain as this far-off, distant character. We might even be interested in who he is or be a bit inspired. Oh, he's interesting. Might be curious about him. But he will do nothing for you if you keep him at arm's length. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life, whoever comes to me. That's what we need to do. We need to come to him as a person. Accept him and trust him as a person. And then he will truly satisfy. Jesus brings complete satisfaction. Next idea, why is Jesus worth it? Because Jesus brings security. Jesus brings security. The second thing that a relationship with Jesus offers is security for all who come to him. I love that idea. It's just, that's all the Christian life is. It's coming to Jesus. A child can come. An old person can come. The least person can come. You don't need to be very smart to come. You just need to come at all to him. The worst person can come to Jesus. And here's the security. He says, those who come, I will never drive away. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. But you might say, hey, Jesus, I've got so many questions. I've got really big doubts. But look at the text up there. It doesn't say, come to me, as long as you've got no questions, I'll never drive you away. It doesn't say that. Jesus says, whoever comes, I'll never drive away. You might say, well, but Jesus, do you know, I'm not actually good at loving other people. I'm actually quite selfish when it comes to it. But look at the words. Jesus doesn't say, whoever comes to me, brackets, as long as you're not a selfish person, I'll never drive away. He doesn't say that. You might say, but Jesus, there's so much I don't understand about Christianity. But Jesus doesn't put any conditions on here at all. He doesn't say you need to come with huge knowledge. He doesn't say you need to come feeling really, really bad and guilty about life. He just says, whoever comes to me. And what I love in this statement here is this beautiful reminder that at the heart of Christianity is a person. And the invitation is to go to that person. At the heart of Christianity is not, in the end, a church building or a church place. It's not a set of ideas. It's not some formula. At the heart of Christianity is a person. We don't come to an idea or a theory or a set of values. We come to a person. Sometimes at the school I work at, you have students almost sitting back in the classes, arms folded. They're waiting for that airtight argument about the existence of God before they say, okay, now I'm interested. That's actually not often how God works, where he throws down to us this airtight argument, here I am, now believe. What instead we get is God comes to us in a person, the person of Jesus, who can be verified in history and we can examine him and we can look up close at Jesus and read off the life of Jesus, what the character of God is like. And the invitation is come to this person. He is at the heart of what Christianity is all about. Now, I know that just that sentence up there, it kind of lacks some punch because there's no context about who the one is making that invitation. But if you've been with us in the last couple of weeks, we'll remember that this is the one who calms a storm. This is the one who raises the dead. This is the one who feeds the hungry, who confounds the theologians. This is the one who brings forgiveness. This is the one who covers wounds, who removes guilt. This is the one who himself died on a cross and came out of the grave. This is the one at the heart of Christianity who says, you come to me and I'll never drive you away. Do you notice how everything in life that we pursue calls us to sacrifice something for it? Think of my race. I'm sacrificing time with my friends for it. It's the same with study. It's the same with anything you pursue. It's the same with anything you want to work at in your career down later in life. It will all call you to die or sacrifice for it. Jesus turns up and he says, I will die for you. There are no conditions to fulfill, no hoops to jump through. Jesus says, a little bit later on, I'll lose no one who has come to me. Think of that tightrope walker from last week. When you come to him, when you hop on, his grip is so tight, he will never let you go. Every relationship we have at the human level is conditional in some way. You might have a part-time job. Your part-time job is conditional on you doing the things that your boss asked you to do. If you completely ignore them, throw that all out the window, you're not going to be working there very long. Your friendship group, it's conditional on you fitting in with those friends. And we all know that friendship groups can drift apart. Whether it's school teacher or a sports coach, even families, all our relationships are conditional on how we act, but not with Jesus. Unlike the relationships that we're used to, Jesus doesn't flake on us. He brings a permanent love and a permanent bond. Unlike a part-time job, Jesus offers permanent security, hope, and an identity. Unlike our health, Jesus is reliable and rock solid. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. There's that security. Last idea, and just much more briefly now. The last verse that we had in our Bible reading. And here's the third reason. The third reason why Jesus is worth it. It's because what we find in Jesus actually lasts well beyond this life. I'll say that again. What we find in Jesus lasts well beyond this life. The last line of the Bible reading, it's coming up on the screen. John chapter 6, verse 40, Jesus says, "My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in them shall have eternal life. And I, that's God the Father, will raise them up on the last day." Jesus says, come follow me, believe in me, trust in me, and I will raise you up on the last day of human history to enter into God's wonderful promise and kingdom and family, and that's where our eternity resides. This is the answer to the great human problem and enemy of death. Every great philosopher you can look up on the internet, every great religious figure you can look up on the internet, they all have something to say about death, every single one of them. But all of those back in history, all those great philosophers and religious people, they've all died themselves. And they stay in the grave. But this one, Jesus, he too spoke about death. He's the only one who came out of the grave himself. And so at Jesus' resurrection, we go, okay, this one has something worth listening to. Maybe we can trust him with our death because he's defeated death. We can trust him with our eternity because he's given so much to secure that gift for us. It's why when Jesus speaks about death and life beyond death, we should sit up and listen. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son, Jesus, and believes shall have eternal life, and I'll raise them up on the last day. Death does not need to have the final say for us. When we latch onto Jesus by faith, he carries us through death like a door into eternal life. Just think about this. We can fix up our whole eternity depending on our attitude to Jesus right now. Think about that. Our attitude to Jesus right now can secure all of our eternity for us. Now, I know that sounds almost too good to be true, but that's Jesus' promise. That is Jesus' invitation to us. It sounds too good to be true, but that's the invitation. A number of years ago, there was a food company that had perfected the perfect packet mix chocolate cake. And they had done all the market research, they tested it on all people of all ages, that their cake made in this packet mix was the fluffiest, tastiest, sweetest chocolate cake on the market. There was no packet mix that could beat this one, and everyone was voting this is the top one. To make it even better, the only thing you had to do was pour the packet mix in, add water, stir it, mix it, put it in the oven. Just add water. That was part of their advertising. Here's the problem. When they took this packet mix to the supermarkets, it sold really terribly, even though the taste was far better. And they couldn't work out why it sold so terribly. They did more market research. They got more people into their focus groups. They said, why don't you buy this packet mix, even though it's the tastiest? And the feedback came back along these lines. People didn't want a packet mix that was just add water, because it was almost too simple. When you're baking a cake, people were saying, when we bake a cake, we want to add a little bit more of our own contribution to the mix. So the scientists went away, they changed the formula, kept the recipe the same, but they changed the formula. So now on the packet, add water and add an egg. And then sales immediately went through the roof. Why is that? We want to contribute to something. Add water, too simple. Add an egg and water, now we've come to the party. It's often the same when it comes to faith. I know that Jesus' words sound too simple. And every human instinct will be, Jesus, I want to bring something to the table. Every human heart will say, it's too easy. God, I want to contribute too. But that's not the offer. The offer is that we just bring our faith. We just bring our belief. We just bring our trust. In fact, if we try to bring our stuff to the table, we mix it all up and we muck it up even more. Our eternal security can all be fixed up just on trust, just on belief. I know as I started off, there's lots of reasons which make it hard to believe in Jesus. There's lots of things that are hard about the Christian life. Is it worth it? We get satisfaction in a world where things fail. We get security in a world where things break down. And we get eternal safety in a world that is still fearful of death. Jesus cares. He brings power and love. And he brings an invitation and an offer. And he says, I am worth it. Thank you.